Morning, it's so good to see you today. Glad to see that you're all safe throughout the storms we've been having. It's good to see Brother Cook back with us and to know that he's doing well. The lesson this morning is entitled Flirting with Temptation. We are surrounded by a world full of evil and full of desires that we as Christians should take no part in. Things that pop up in every single form of recreation that we see, we can't go anywhere hardly without seeing these things, seeing this sin and this temptation that's around us. And I want to talk this morning about our jobs as Christians and how we are not supposed to be associated with these things and how we as Christians cannot afford to flirt with temptation. Our soul is in jeopardy every day when we go out into the world. And we need to make sure that we are obeying God and His commandments and having faith in Him to lead us away from these evil things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." When we are tempted, God is with us. He gives us that escape. There's no temptation that we can't handle. When we fall to temptation and sin, it's our own fault. God gives us that escape, and we need to make sure that we are not flirting with that temptation and seeing how close we can get to sin. Instead, we need to be looking for that escape, be looking for that way out of that sin. But God does not tempt us. I want to stress that. We see this with the example of Job. If you would turn to Job chapter 1. Job 1. In verses, starting in verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" So here we read this verse and we say, wait a minute. God's suggesting to Satan to use Job, to tempt Job. And you might be wondering, why is God tempting Job? Well, God is not tempting Job. He knows Job. And he wants to test Job. So he has this confidence in him. And so he suggests Job to Satan. And in verse 9, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold all that he has in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." So the devil was planning to tempt Job to curse God. And we see that God allowed Job to be tempted. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, what we just read was that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we were able to handle. Says that we are not, he will not allow us to be tempted, but he does allow us to be tempted. He just won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to handle. Temptation is of our own desires. James 1, 13 through 15 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." There again, we see that God does not tempt us. God cannot be tempted, and he cannot tempt anyone. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." We have worldly desires, and our own desires draw us away from God and into temptation. These things are here, and they're abundant in our lives. And we need to be aware of them. And we need to be ready to avoid them, to run away from that temptation, because we are going to be tempted, but there is that escape. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Our flesh is weak. We are a weak race. We need God to strengthen ourselves and to be able to withstand this temptation. And it's only because God allows an escape that we can withstand that. We have worldly desires. In 1 John 2, in verse 15 through 16, it reads, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We have these desires of the world, these lusts of the flesh, and the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. But we are not to love those desires. We are to push those desires away, have nothing to do with them. People get as close as they can to sin and think they can resist it. They can resist that temptation, and they test themselves time and time again. We get as close as we can, and we think we're stronger than what we are. And flirting with temptation is so dangerous. Your soul's on the line. When you see that temptation and when you feel that desire, pray to God and turn away from that and flee from that temptation. We see that about the old man in Ephesians 2 in verses 1 through 3. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, even when we are that new man, there are those desires. And they're going to be in our everyday life. There is that temptation. We will continue to be tempted. And we will fall, because we are not perfect. But notice that in verse 2 it says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world." That's an action. That's participating in these desires and ultimately succumbing to that temptation. And in verse 3 it says, "Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." We are not to fulfill those desires. We are to shun them. Push them away, purge them out of our lives, and to cling to God and to the good things of this life. And later on in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24, we read that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created to God in true righteousness and holiness. So that old man that was being talked about in chapter 2, that walks according to the lust of the flesh, that fulfills those desires instead of pushing them away. And now we see that we are to put off that old man, have nothing to do with it. We should not flirt with temptation, because that is growing closer to that old man that we are supposed to put away. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on a new man and pursue righteousness and holiness. And that's what that new man is all about. It's a complete different man, a complete different side of things, a complete change, and turn away from that old life. We should all avoid temptation, like I've been saying. Flirting with temptation is getting as close to sin as possible. We have no business doing that. We are so weak when it comes to sin. It's not something to mess around with. Now, everyone has their own desires and their own weaknesses, and you know those, and that you should better be able to avoid those temptations. We read in Matthew 26 and verse 41 earlier that the spirit is indeed willing and the flesh is weak. But notice the first sentence there: "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." There are things we can do to lead ourselves away from that temptation. Ask God for strength. Ask God for courage. Watch. That means be paying attention. Be aware of the things in this life. Be aware that sin is just right around the corner, and temptation is going to draw you into that sin, and then death will come about that sin. Watch and pray. Do what you can to be away from that temptation. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. We are to abhor that evil. Have nothing to do with it. Shun it. Don't heed it. And cling to what is good. There are two actions there. First, you push it away. You have nothing to do with that evil. And then what do? To continue to stay away from that evil and to better yourself as a Christian, you cling to what is good. We see the comparison of David and Joseph. If you would turn to 2 Samuel 11, we know of David and his temptation with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 11, and we'll start reading about David and his sin in verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David rose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent his messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. In verse 3, we see that David inquired about the woman. He had that desire, and he had that lust, and he inquired for the woman. Instead of running away, David ran closer to sin. Now, he may not have even been thinking that he could withstand this temptation. He was just all for it. And he inquired about that sin. That's the complete opposite of what we should do as Christians. And we see a better example in Joseph in Genesis 39. If you would turn with me there. Genesis 39. And we had a class about this last week. About Joseph and all the things that we could learn from him. And right here we notice that this sin is even of the same origin. It's of sexual nature. And so this is a good comparison between David and Joseph, because they both had the same desire, or the desire was present and it was the temptation was potential. But in Genesis 39 in verse 11 and 12, we read that Joseph overcame that temptation. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. David inquired for the sin, and Joseph fled from it. It's a good comparison between something that we should have no part in, that we should not even think about doing, and something that we should completely give ourselves to. We should completely run away from that sin and get ourselves out of that situation so that we can't be tempted anymore. We should follow Joseph's example in running away from sin. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now we see that Joseph ran away from that sin and temptation. But here it says but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's something else we must do. After we flee from that sin and that temptation, we have an obligation to cling to what is good, to turn to those righteous things and godly things. So we should run away from that sin. And then there is a time to cling to the righteous things. And it's most important when we are in temptation. James 4 and verse 7 through 8 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We are to flee from temptation, and then we are to draw near to God. When we are flirting with that temptation and drawing closer to that sin, we are drawing closer to the devil. And when we draw closer to the devil, he will take us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what to do to tempt us, to bring us into sin. And he's going to do everything in his control and his might to bring us down into sin and ultimately to hell with him. So we should draw near to God, because God is the one who can take us away from that sin and temptation and strengthen us in our time of need. Galatians 5 and verse 19 through 25, if you would turn with me there. Galatians 5. In verses 19 through 25, it's talking about, see if I can find a place. Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 25 is talking about the fleshly lust and then working for the fruit of the Spirit. We see in verse 16, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." In verse 16, it says to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those lusts are there, those desires are there, but we're told to walk in the Spirit instead of conducting ourselves in the lust of the flesh and the desires in this life. We must, on the contrary, walk in the Spirit. And we read of the works of the flesh in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." All these desires, all these lusts we have, and the temptation that brings us closer to them will ultimately lead us to the opposite place to where we want to be in eternity, and that is hell. But we have things that we should pursue, things that we should work for that will strengthen us and bring us closer to God and ultimately bring those temptations down to a level where it's not as threatening as it would be if we were seeking those desires of the world. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we walk in the Spirit, let us also walk. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We've crucified those desires and passions. We should not have anything to do with them. And that includes everything that is in our life when we're not here together with like Christians, with those of like precious faith. We go into the world and there's those desires and temptations. And often we put ourselves in those situations. We surround ourselves with people that we have no business hanging out with. We go to things that we have no business going to, whether it be movies or parties or anything that has anything to do with all these lusts and desires. And we draw ourselves closer to that when really we should be putting ourselves away from that and drawing closer to God. And we're hurting ourselves by doing this. We're to meditate on these things which we read of, these fruit of the Spirit, and all these things that are listed. Philippians 4 and verse 8. If you would turn with me there, Philippians 4. In verse 8, it talks about these things that we are to meditate on. Now, before we read this verse, I want to talk about this meditation. I took a world religions class last semester in college, and we talked about meditation of Hinduism and Buddhism, how they clear their mind, and they have these sayings and these positions that they sit in, and they just clear their mind, take everything they've thought about, everything that's in their head, and try to push it out and clear it so that you're not thinking of anything and your mind is completely clear. This meditation that it talks about in verse 8 of Philippians 4 is completely different. It's almost the opposite. You're to fill your mind with these things. You are to completely surround yourself with these things. If you would read Philippians 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Meditate on these things, and God will be with you. For some reason, we have a desire for those things that are evil. And we are tempted by those things which are inherently evil and sinful. Instead of having that desire for these godly things, these righteous things which we should meditate on, we should push those evil things aside and meditate on these things. Fill our minds with these things. Don't think you're above sin. Don't think that you are better than the people around you, that you can withstand this temptation by yourself, and that you can get as close to this as possible without sinning. You're not immune to sin. You're not above sin. Everyone has sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Don't think you're above that sin. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." What does that mean? If you think you're right with the Lord, and if you think that you're greater than this sin, that you can get as close as you want to this temptation and not falter, if you think you're that strong, you're fooling yourself, because you will fall. Drawing yourself closer to that temptation is drawing closer to sin, which is drawing close to the devil, when we should be purging that out of our lives and drawing closer to God. In Galatians 6 and verse 7 through 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We reap what we sow. What are you surrounding yourself with? What are you putting in your mind? What are your thoughts and intentions? Where are you going? Where are you hanging out? What are the people that you're hanging out with? Who is it? Are they good for you? Are they righteous? Are they Christians? If not, you need to think about that. You need to think about where you stand with the Lord. Where are your interests? Where is your heart? You need to make sure that it's on those things above, on those righteous things, because you do sow, you do reap what you sow. In conclusion, we're to avoid those things that we're not sure of. The questionable things. Maybe you think, well, maybe this event that I'm going to, this movie I'm going to see, maybe it might be a little bad, but, you know, I'm going to go check it out, see if it's okay. Why would you do that? If there's any question about it, if there's any question about whether or not it's going to be detrimental to your faith, why would you put yourself in that situation? It's such a dumb thing. We're so ignorant and we're so stupid sometimes to think we're above sin and above these things. We're weak, and we are to avoid those things. Avoid sin and unrighteous things. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14 says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." We should not have sin reign in our bodies. That should be something that when we fall short and do sin, it's so little that it happens. It very, very rarely happens. We should not be walking in sin. We should not be conducting ourselves in that lust of the flesh and the pride of life that we read about. But we should be presenting ourselves to God. We should have interest in spiritual things and righteous things instead of the things of the world. We are to cling to God. As we read before, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Lead yourself away from that evil. Lead yourself to what is good and righteous in the sight of God, and it will strengthen you. And last but not least, do not flirt with temptation. It's such a dangerous thing that we think that we can get close to that and still stand and still be right with God. Because when you're getting close to temptation, you're showing where your heart is. You're showing that you don't care enough about God and about your spiritual life, and that you're going to risk it for some earthly desire and pleasure of this life. And we need to make sure that we examine ourselves and make sure that we are leading ourselves away from those things that can tempt us instead of leading ourselves closer to it. James 1 and verse 12 gives us assurance. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." God allows us to be tempted. There are temptations in this life, and he expects us to overcome those temptations, to run away from those temptations, not to flirt with that temptation, and to cling to him and to righteousness. And he promises us a crown of life. He doesn't have to promise us anything. He didn't have to give us that hope of heaven, because he deserves our praise and our worship, because he created us and we are lower than him. But he gave it to us out of his free will, out of his grace and mercy toward us. And he promises us, if we endure that temptation, if we draw ourselves away from that and cling to what is good, that we will receive that crown of life. So I encourage you today to, when we leave this place, to examine yourself to make sure that you are not clinging to those evil things and flirting with temptation, but you're drawing yourself away. The lesson is yours. We'll now